Hello and good morning, everyone. It's a new day. And it is literally a new day. And you are listening on 1180 WFYL, Fox affiliate radio station. So listen, guys, go ahead and write this number down because I am a mom that's constantly in the car and you're listening to your radio and there's so much good stuff coming on air and you want to chime in. But the people, they give the numbers so fast. So here it is. Is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 8255. So go ahead, write that down. I'll say it again, because today you're going to want to be a part of the conversation that we're bringing before you today. And also today we have with us, a very rare occasion for me, the owner of the station, Susan Locke. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, Kathy. We're thrilled to have you with us. Oh, it's always a joy to have you here.
Oh, I love it. You know, whenever you have the opportunity to share truth, and Jesus is the truth. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have an opportunity to bring Jesus before the people, I love it. And then you can also just kind of help people understand where we are and how to think about where we are in our times today.
That's right. It's such a wonderful opportunity. And I thank you for giving out the number. We really hope people will call in and share their thoughts too.
Because that's what it's all about. It's all about us coming together and kind of, you know, I mean, no one person has all the answers. Jesus is not here physically walking around as he did once upon a time. So therefore, we as believers, especially, or those in the conservative movement, we need to start coming together and having this dialogue. And this is what this show is all about. It's all about bringing to you a dialogue. So let's engage. Let's not let this be one-sided. We don't all have the answers, but together, because as a professor, one thing I realize is that if one person is thinking the question, others are thinking that exact same question.
Exactly.
So go ahead, call in, let your voice be heard. I truly want to hear it. I truly want to be edified or to be challenged in the way that we're even thinking. And let's come to an understanding. So again, that number to call in is 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Also on the line with us is my wonderful friend. I love him so much. Joe Edwards, you still there? Joe?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We are doing well. I'm so glad that you're on air. I just finished introducing you, or at least letting our listeners know that you're also going to impart in our conversation today. There's so much going on all around us, and so I'm so very grateful that you made yourself available, Joe, to come on and kind of give us some insight about what's happening and how to think about it.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Yes. Okay. So, but we're going to start off with a word of the day, and Susan has a passage of scripture she wants to share with us. And as she was sharing it with me right before we went on air, I started thinking this is so apropos of what I intend to kind of talk about today. So I think it sets a perfect stage of where we're going to go. So Susan, you want to share with us?
Thank you, Kathy. This is Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen. And I mean, it's so fitting. And Joe, feel free to just chime in at any point that you want to. But that is so fitting because especially as we stand and we look at what's going on all around us, I mean, it's foolishness and mayhem. Every time you turn on the television, I mean, and I don't even watch the regular news, but every time you look around, we're being bombarded. It's almost as if we're being steamrolled days by day by day with something, with another event that is as outlandish as the event prior to it. And one could sit back and feel weary, can feel as though, well, I don't know what's going on. You know, is God, you know, does God know what's going on, what's happening? And you can begin to get the feeling that, you know, that all of this is just happening by happenstance, that we don't understand what's going on, that it's just turmoil and we need to. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just so much chaos and it's so overwhelming. And you can feel small and confused about who we are, who we believe in, and what it is we're called to do.
It's more important than ever to be really connected to our source. We must take the time to be still before him and just realize he's there always.
Yeah,
He
doesn't change, but as you were reading, this is not taking him by surprise.
Yeah.
He is not limited in his understanding.
Exactly.
In fact, and if you study the book of, any of the books of the Bible, but specifically the book of Revelation, Matthew chapter 24, the book of David, you recognize that God is not only allowing these things to occur, but he's ushering these things into existence.
That's right.
None of these things are happening outside of the parameters of God that God has already set and established.
Mm-hmm. He has a divine plan.
He does.
And timetable.
And it gives some awareness. And I thought that was so fitting because of what I wanted to talk about today. And you know, because with It's a New Day, we tend to look at the headlines, what's going on. And as most of you know, a third Planned Parenthood video came out this week, earlier this week. And again, it is just as incriminating as the first two.
Yes.
Videos that we've already seen. It is so cruel and horrendous and barbaric.
Chilling.
It's really chilling, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, and these are all senior level executives that this particular organization has captured, and the manner in which they talk about the pricing of various parts of the baby's body. It's just so barbaric. It's so cold. And callous. And these are women, and let's assume that they're mothers, and yet
yes.
They're so callous and calculated about their discussion of prices for body parts. So we're going to get to that as well. But I wanted to bring yet again another degree of foolishness, because once you think you've hit the bottom and you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, our culture.
But wait, it gets worse.
I know. Our culture is finding a way to go deeper.
Yes.
And I was talking to Joe last night about this. And I actually saw, Joe, you had posted on Facebook, and I contacted you immediately. But that the University of California now offers 6 choices for gender identity.
Oh, 6.
So now in their application, you can choose, here we go, male, female, trans male, trans man, number 4, trans female, trans woman, number 5, gender queer, gender non-conforming, and the 6, different identity. Because, you know, I just don't know who I am. I don't
confused.
Know who I am. Yeah, I'm just confused, you know.
Number 6, confused.
I have no idea. And Joe, what did you say on Facebook last night?
Well, just something, you know, we've abandoned common sense.
No kidding.
I mean,
we've simply abandoned common sense. But why do we think that modern and postmodern thought is always superior to ancient wisdom? Where did we mm-hmm. get that from? We think that newer is by nature better. But, you know, we're abandoning common sense because we have not been teaching our children about natural law. And when you abandon, you ask most people today, well, you know, what's natural law? Most people don't even know what it is. But it's simply a principle or body of laws considered as derived from nature. Right. And this is a quote, really, right out of, just from dictionary.com, but, you know, there's probably better definitions out there. But I'm just going to quote this. A principle or body of laws considered as derived from nature, right reason, or religion, and as ethically binding in human society. Now, if we want to parse that language and just consider that for a moment, there is an underlying assumption in that definition that there are things that are obvious in nature and to mankind's ability to reason that are right and other things that are wrong. Whether or not those things are derived from a creator or not. Now, as a Christian man myself, I certainly, and when you opened with Isaiah today, you mentioned about
Joe,
creation.
Joe, you know what? I love where you're going with this, but we're getting ready to come up to a break. So once again, you're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. Now, this show is going to also be aired on Truth Exchange. As well. So get your pen ready. Call in 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. It's the new day. It's also going to be on Truth Exchange with Kathy Barnett. We'll see you in just a moment. It's not dead, he's sure. Boys in my head. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Hello and welcome back. It's a new day with Kathy Barnett, and I also have two very special guests in here with me as well. The owner, Susan Locke, and Joe Edwards, who's entrepreneur, former president of Patriots United, and just an all-around good guy and concerned citizen. And so thank you both for being in here and just kind of helping us get an understanding of what's going on. Susan and I were just talking during the break, you know, just kind of saying, you know, I mean, like, it's such a wonderful opportunity to have this opportunity to be able to come and talk and to share truth and all of that, and to help people understand how to think about the things that are going on all around us. But also, it's a wonderful opportunity just to encourage you all.
Each other.
I know, right? I mean, like, just to give us hope. I mean, and Susan said, and so people know that they're not crazy because
and
it's
we're
so...
We're not alone. We're not alone out here.
Right. We're not alone. You're not crazy. The world truly is going in, Alice of Wonderland, just, mm-hmm. you know, just going down.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. We're just falling down this rabbit hole. And Joe, you're still there with me, right?
I'm here.
Yeah. Now, what you were saying as we were going into that break, I apologize about that. But as we were going into that break, is kind of what, you know, you and I were talking about last night of, and now, you know, maybe everyone knows this word, this theory, except for me. But I was talking to Joe last night about cognitive dissonance. And for anyone who may be in my boat who did not know, because Joe already knew what it was. Now, I knew what cognitive meant, and I know what dissonance meant, but I did not know that there was a theory called cognitive dissonance. And essentially, it is the feeling of being uncomfortable, an uncomfortable tension, which comes from holding two conflicting thoughts in the mind at the same time. So dissonance occurs when there are two conflicting thoughts in the mind at the same time. And the dissonance increases with the importance of the subject that we're talking about. The conflict in our mind increases depending upon how strongly we feel about whatever the conflict is. And the dissonance or conflict increases when we have an inability to rationalize it away. Now, why is that important given what we're talking about? I kind of want to frame the headlines of the day, whether we're talking about the homosexual agenda and how it's steamrolling our culture, or whether we're talking about Planned Parenthood. I kind of want to frame it around this topic of cognitive dissonance, that there is two conflicts that are going on. And as I was thinking about that and talking to Joe last night, we were kind of bouncing back and forth of, well, what are the two conflicts? In order to have a cognitive dissonance, you have to have at least two conflicting thoughts. And Joe, you helped me kind of distill what I was thinking to, well, these are the two conflicting thoughts, materialism versus transcendency. You want to talk about that a little bit, Joe?
Sure. Well, ultimately, I think we can even go back to one of our founding documents, our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, when our forefathers stated, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and are endowed by whom? Their creator.
Their creator.
With certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it goes on. But presumptive in that statement was an understanding that there was something transcendent. There is something much bigger here than breaking away from our motherland, England, and start and coalescing these colonies around a new nation. It wasn't just about that. It was something much, much bigger. It was ultimately, there were, of course, the economic elements
right.
to it, but there was an enormous religious component of religious freedom to this. And so our forefathers understood transcendence. There was something much bigger than just the material world that we live in. And that is what informed the basis of the founding of this nation. And so when you talk about cognitive dissonance, they're completely opposite of one another. So you're either going to have a god or you're not. On the humanistic website, which I'm on right now, American Humanist Association, right underneath their logo, it says good without a god. And then they go on, and it's a very lengthy, but you know, good without a god. So they're presuming already that there is no higher authority to whom we must give an account, and therefore, humanism by nature will simply, find the inherent good in ourselves, and we will create our own reality, which leads into all the pathologies that we're now seeing crop up today, including what you referred to, out in California with the university now having six different gender identities.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. And like you ladies were talking about earlier, all of this is utterly nonsensical. But it's naturally nonsensical if there is no higher authority to whom we can appeal.
And that is where
reality in our own eyes.
And that is where I want to put a stake in the ground right now, because I think that is the key. And when you said it to me last night, it was like this big aha moment, because what we're dealing with, right, is whether, there is something greater than myself that I must give, that I must figure out who that greater is and begin to align my life according to what he or this greater person would have me to do. Or if there is nothing greater than myself, then it is all about me. And that's when we fall into the realm of materialism, this tendency yeah. to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values, or that there's nothing that nothing exists except for what I can touch, feel, and measure. And if I can't touch, feel, or measure it, then it's not real. So that is, so as we're looking at the world around us and all of these things that are going on, I mean, right now we have on air I Am Jazz, where this boy has been transitioned into a girl, and now he is a teenager, and his parents started his transition when he was 2 years old, because he came and asked them, "Mommy, am I a boy or a girl?" And to them, that was enough of a conflict to begin to transition their son and to their daughter, and with the breast and everything, the augmentations and all of that. So we have that show on air now, I Am Jazz. Of course, we have the 65-year-old Bruce Jenner show, I Am Kate. And I mean, he looks so scary. I can't even look at him directly on. It looks so demonic. And then we have, in Reno this past Sunday, Reno, Nevada, they took down the American flag temporarily and put up the gay flag. Instead, we have the University of California now having six choices of gender identity. And you look around and you're like, what in the world is going on? And so I think it's so important just to kind of understand where we are in time and space right now. We are dealing with transcendency versus materialism. And Joe, you said last night, you reminded me of the passage where Paul said, if there is no resurrection after death, death, if there is nothing beyond right here and right now, he said we should just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. And that is where we find ourselves. Is there something greater than myself? And if so, I need to begin to try to figure out what that greater is and begin to align my life to it. Or am I at the center of my world and I can create whatever reality I want to create? And that is where we are. We're in a culture now where you create whatever reality you want to create. I mean, 6 different gender choices: male, female, trans male, trans female, gender queer, gender non-conforming, different identity. Like, you don't even know who you are. So just have a bucket that says other or all inclusive. That's the world in which we're living in. And that's really crazy. Joe, you said last night that if we are nothing but time and chance, then everything we see is natural. Everything we see is natural. Stay with us. You're listening to It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
Fox News Radio. I'm Nilia Mu. Afghanistan's government is looking into the claim that Taliban leader Mullah Omar is dead and has been for at least 2.5 years.
He's reported to have died of tuberculosis, not in one of the many drone airstrikes or any of the other operations that have been conducted against Taliban and al-Qaeda leadership.
Sam Kiley, Fox Sister Network, Sky News. A summer day camp catastrophe leaves several children
dozens
hurt.
Dozens of children had just spent the day playing near the Kids Space Children's Museum in Pasadena when out of nowhere
I heard a giant crash, and then all of a sudden people started to run and then screaming.
A giant pine tree toppled, injuring 8 kids, 2 of them critically.
Fox Radio, Steve Rappaport. Authorities don't know what made the pine tree topple on a warm, clear summer day with minimal wind, but California remains in the middle of a severe drought. Fox News, we report.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you worried about creating a reliable and predictable income stream in retirement? That's exactly what we do when we craft your very own personalized asset cycle portfolio plan. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know. Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul.
Good morning, and we're back. It's a new day with Kathy Barnett. I have my guest in here as well, the station owner, Susan Locke, as well as Joe Edwards, kind of helping us get a footing on how to think about all the things that are going on in the headlines today. So once again, you're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL, Fox affiliate radio station. Now, this show is also going to be aired on my show, Truth Exchange, with Kathy Barnett on War Radio. We are America's number one political talk radio station on Live 365. So I'm so excited about that opportunity as well. But get your pens ready. Call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Because this is real talk. I mean, you know, generally on It's a New Day, what we do is we kind of cover and providing some colorful commentary on all of the headline news. But I wanted to just kind of take somewhat of not a break from covering headline news, but just kind of instead kind of spend some time thinking about how should we think about these headline news, right? Because it's one thing just to kind of read through them and then move on about our day, versus just kind of taking a step back and saying, now, how should I think about this? What should I feel about this? And so what we've already kind of talked about, you know, we already talked about University of California offering these six choices. We have the new reality television shows, I Am Jazz, this transition boy turning into a girl who's a teenager now. We have I Am Kate with the chronicling the transition of Bruce Jenner old tale into a into a woman, and it looks so scary. Again, I cannot look at him directly when the commercials come on. I refuse to watch either of those shows, by the way. I refuse to dedicate any portion of any part of me to watching that. But when, but the commercials come on and you, and I'm trying to fast forward it so you catch glimpses of all of these things. And it's just really scary. And, of course we've already talked about, in Nevada City, in Reno, in Nevada, they, on the city capitol, they took down the American flag temporarily and replaced it with the LGBT flag, on top of City Hall, as they celebrated, the Gay Pride Parade. So we just have all these different things going around us. And then, and what we've kind of surmised is that there is a cognitive dissonance that is taking place. There is a conflict of thoughts, and the two, you have to have at least two conflicts in order to have some dissonance or this uncomfortable tension. And what we've kind of surmised is that it is a war between materialism, meaning I am the center of my own universe, and as a result, I can create whatever reality I want to live in, or transcendency, meaning there is something greater than me that I must give allegiance to. And now, Joe, I want to give you the bulk of our time, just kind of, you know, because last night you transitioned me, because that's part of what we're contending with in the world, is that we have this battle between materialism and transcendency. Is there anything greater than myself, or am I as great as it get? And so now I need to try to create the reality that suits me, which may not suit you, but it's okay, to each their own. That's one aspect of it. But then you transition our conversation to start talking about, now, why are churches, why are Christians beginning to buckle to all of this? Mm. You want to kind of talk about where you took the conversation then?
Sure. And if I may, just by way of beginnings, I think it's so important on this issue, because as we start moving into this question of marriage, it's so important to understand what opposition to same-sex marriage is not, before we talk about what it is. It is not bigotry. Consistent Orthodox Christianity holds out the open palm of love, grace, and mercy to all people, whether they agree with us or not. Christianity, by its very definition, is always invitational. It's never demanding. It never forces people to do anything. It's invitational by nature. It also affirms that all people, just as our founding fathers stated, all men are created in the image of God. And so because we understand this, humankind by their nature has great inestimable value. And so I think it's really important that we not allow ourselves, those who find themselves so frustrated by how this culture is creating out of control, I think it's just vital that we get recentered among ourselves. Because what humanity is doing now is natural. If there's no God, if there is no transcendent being to whom we are accountable, then what we're seeing playing on the world stage, whether it's the incredible rise of ISIS and power and the brutality of that view, whether if man is at the center of things, then everything that we're seeing is natural. The redefinition of marriage, whether it's, you know, two people, whether it's polygamy, whether it's incestuous, all of these different things, this is a natural outgrowth. So, but back to your question, within the context of the Christian community, it is very, very interesting to see how wholesale denominations are now buckling to this issue. And some have for some time now. But even among so-called evangelicals, there is a great division taking place within the broader evangelical community and even the Catholic community as to whether or not one can affirm same-sex marriages within the context of a scriptural reading. And it's bizarre at face value when we look at the text, both Old and New Testament, which Christians hold to be sacred scripture, that anybody can redefine marriage in these new modern and postmodern ways. But as we were talking last night, the same question that was asked in Genesis 2 is being asked yet again, and it's been asked in every age, certainly beginning afresh in the mid-1800s over in Europe and Germany with the advent of higher criticism and how that, just decimated colleges, universities, seminaries, both Protestant and Catholic alike. And the question was, did God really say?
Joe, I thought that was profound when you said that last night. I mean, because that's the question that Satan posed to Eve in chapter 3 of Genesis. Did God really say? And as you and I were talking last night, Eve knew what God said. Adam knew what God said. And yet the urging was that, or the thing that appealed to both of them is that they too could be God. And if you remember, that is Satan's ultimate desire at the very beginning, is that he wanted the accolades and the praise that God was getting. He too wanted to be God. And the thing that tempted Adam and Eve was the fact that they too could be God. And even in the church, when we look at why are Christians beginning to buckle, it, as you said, it goes back to that age-old question. Did God really say? We know what God is saying about homosexuality. We know what God is saying about Planned Parenthood or abortion, murdering these little babies. We know those are babies. And yet, when you talk to Christians, depending upon who you're talking to, they equivocate. They have issues. They feel like they're in conflict. They don't understand. And it just kind of comes back down to who is at the center. Is God at the center? Or do I want to usurp God and put myself at the center and then create the reality that I want?
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think what has happened now, and if we try to step back from our own personal opinions on this issue and look at the broader culture and imagine how a secularist, someone that, does not believe, in a higher being, peers into the church, we must admit with great humility and sadness that the church has failed culture.
Yes.
And because we, the church, have failed the culture, we have not held out the word of shine. We have not shined like stars in the universe holding out the word of life. We've been holding out the word. Scripture speaks about that, right? And I think it was either First or Second Peter. But instead of holding, we have held out the word of life, but we haven't been shining like stars in the universe. What does a star do in the universe? It's brilliant. It's beautiful. It refracts, you know, light from something else. And we have not been doing that. Instead, the church has the same statistics as the secular culture and divorce rates and all the other pathologies that go with, you know, dysfunctional family life. And because we have failed, we have not demonstrated to a secular culture that there's a better way. So the culture is now searching for their own way. And this is why it is so vital, in my humble opinion, that we recognize again, if my people, as God said, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then, you know, I will, you know, how does the rest of that passage go? Then I will, you know, hear from heaven and you know, I will heal their land.
Right.
I'm not but quoting it starts that perfectly.
That's completely fine. It starts with us. Listen, guys, you're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. This show is also going to be broadcasted on Truth Exchange with Kathy Barnett on War Radio. Stay with us. Get your pen ready. 610-539-TALK.
The Pope is going to attend the World Meeting of Families 2015, Philadelphia, on September 21st, 2015. 1.5 million people are expected to attend the Papal Mass on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway on September 27th, 2015 in Philadelphia. Go to worldmeeting2015.org for further information. Since only 6,000 rooms are available in Philadelphia and 15,000 are expected to register, people are making rooms available in their homes for the overflow. 10,000 Philadelphia volunteers are needed. Note Milan, Italy, had 5,000. Once again, register as a volunteer or to provide a room for a visitor at worldmeeting2015.org. Note, there is a daycare and youth congress. Presentations on the history of the Bible and other topics will be presented at this meeting of families 2015 in Philadelphia. This is the first time the new Pope will visit the United States, and we are honored he selected Philadelphia as the first city to be visited. Go to worldmeeting2015.org for more information on this conference, whose slogan is, Love is Our Mission.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I'm going back to nursing school in the fall, and I'm almost out of gospels. I've gotten out of the habit of giving them out. Time to get back to sowing God's seed. Thanks so much for what you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'll be giving the Gospels to dock workers who load and unload my truck, as well as to other drivers and truck stop employees, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the Gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Light shine for all to see and start a fire.
Hello and welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL with Kathy Barnett. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. Now, why am I just pounding you guys with this call-in number because you need to call in. This is a dialogue. This is not a monologue. This is a dialogue, and this is all about us engaging. And I know that you have some critical substance to share on this, or even a question that will illuminate what it is that we're talking about. So again, 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. And this show is also going to be aired on Truth Exchange with Kathy Barnett on War Radio, the number one political talk radio on Live 365. So, and with me once again is the station owner, Susan Locke, as well as my dear friend, Joe Edwards. Joe, so you want to pick up from where we left off before? Is there anything to you? I had to cut you off a little bit before we went into break.
Sure, no problem. As we were talking about the nature of marriage and you know what it isn't, you know, we ultimately, of course, have to move into what it is, right? I mean, we've affirmed that, you know, opposition to same-sex marriage is not bigoted. It's not hate-filled. You know, those are simply ad hominem arguments used to just shut us down and to keep us passive. You know, we can't do that, but we must understand as we shift into a place of proactive love, we must be strong in this position because we do this for the betterment of society. It's not just about projecting some type of ancient moral code. It's about affirming what has worked throughout the ages. Now, has it ever worked perfectly? Of course not. You know, humanity, and this is, of course, talking about cognitive dissonance, this is the problem with humanism, you know, particularly secular humanism. You know, humanity in history demonstrates the flawed notion of man's inherent goodness.
Yes.
And yet we continue to try to project that as if, you know, just another round of new experimentation is going to, you know, get us to nirvana. Well, it doesn't work that way. We are smart enough to know through the broad arc of human history that we are failed in our human heart. This is why we need laws, both for civil governance as well as a moral code or moral law for self-governance. And all of these things work when we there's a book by Robert Weber. He wrote something called The Younger Evangelicals, Facing the Challenges of the New World. Back in 2002, long before, really, when the debate about same-sex marriage was in its infancy. And he said, and I quote, "The modern notion that meaning and morality can be ascertained through reason apart from God has become increasingly empty. The concept of progress and the notion that history is moving civilization to higher levels of consciousness is no longer valid." I mean, he understood this, and he's trying to help these young people think critically. And that's, of course, Kathy, what you do so well is you're trying to invite people to think critically. You know, your program, The Truth Exchange, I mean, what a wonderful, you know, title to an organization to help people think. So as we start moving from what opposition to same-sex marriage is not, we must ultimately move to what it is. And it begins by affirming the dignity of all people, regardless of whether they agree with us or not. And once we move from that place and they know that really we are for them, even those that we disagree with, we're for them as humanity. We love them as people. We want the best for them. We want them to be whole. We want them to be complete. We want them to be healed, just like we want ourselves to be healed. When we come at it from that perspective, then the church can begin being the church again. But I'm afraid, like we were talking about earlier, that the church has failed society to such a degree that we have created a vacuum. You know, we've all heard the old adage that nature abhors a vacuum. Well, we have created a cultural and moral vacuum in the church. We have allowed modern and postmodern thought to come into the church to such a degree that we're creating our own reality
even in the church.
Confines, even in the church, and it doesn't work.
And the reason why we're creating this new reality even in the church, going back to what you said earlier, is that it goes back to Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? And the import of that question is that Adam and Eve, they knew what God said, but what enticed them was that they too could be God. knowing what God knows. And these are people who were, you know, for all practical purposes, Christians. They believed in God. They walked with God. They were in strong fellowship and communion with God. And the question was, and the question, did God really say why it was so, I mean, it's such a simple question, but the reason why it has such an impact was because it tapped into what was in the recess of their heart, and that is creating their own reality, being their own God, usurping God and putting themselves at the center. No longer, and I can throw off the shackles
the
of yeah, I can throw off these bonds and do my own thing, right? And so it's not something, so as a Christian, we can't just look at the world and say, hey, your problem is you're having a conflict between materialism, meaning you at the center, or the fact that there's transcendency, there's something greater than you. It's also something that we have to look at even within the church. When the church begins to look very similar to the world and talk very similar, similarly to the world, then you have to say, not only is materialism versus transcendency is something that the world is contending with, but it's something that we, the church, is contending with. And the only solution to that is what again, Joe?
Well, the solution ultimately is to rein in the human heart, bow the knee
mm-hmm.
to someone greater than self. And we do that by being humble. We do that by recognizing that God, I have to bring this in. You know, the scriptures, the Christian scriptures say that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We cannot ever hope to find a better future for ourselves and for our families and our children and grandchildren if we don't begin from a place of abject humility.
Yeah, and the thought, I'm sorry, Susan, were you going to say something?
Well, I just wanted to say, when you said a little bit ago, Joe, those words, proactive love, that sums it all up. That is, God is love. Of course, it's written, God is love, but he is proactive love. And I think the church has been in a deep slumber, and a lot of people have forgotten that proactive love.
Proactive love.
And his truth, he is also truth. His word is truth. People just need to wake up.
Yeah,
they do. There's a story, just a 1 minute story, if I have time for it, that I would like to share. Years ago, when I was out in California in business, I was with one of my associates, and he is a secular humanist, one of the kindest people I've ever met. He's just a wonderful guy, but I was constantly, frequently speaking about, Christ and my love for Christ and how he loves people. And finally, just he had his third glass of wine, and in exasperation, he says, "Why do you keep having to bring up Jesus?" I said to my friend, "Listen, let's just imagine for a moment that you and I were out on a day's excursion, and I happened to go up this, 75-foot cliff, and you're on this, you're in your inner tube, and you're just meandering down this nice little, beautiful meandering, piece thing of water,
we
and
have
just,
15
everything's
seconds,
wonderful,
Joe.
And I see that you're about to go over the cliff. Is love going to compel me to warn you, or is it to simply affirm that you're about to go off the cliff?"
Very good.
Wonderfully stated. Yes, we need to warn. We need to tackle our culture for Christ. Yes. Stay with us. You're listening to It's a New Day.
Every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL. King of Prussia. Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. He's a one-eyed, secretive terrorist leader, reported dead numerous times, but is the head of the Taliban in Afghanistan really dead this time? Fox News Radio's Simon Owen, live in our European bureau.
Dave, it's not clear. News reports citing senior Afghan government sources saying Mullah Omar is dead, killed perhaps 2 years ago by tuberculosis. But there's no comment from the Taliban, and all the Afghan government will say,
we're still in the process of assessing those reports.
Mullah Omar was an associate of Osama bin Laden, giving him shelter in the years before 9/11. His support for the then Al-Qaeda leader led to the US-led invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, Dave.
Simon, he says he's an American and loves his country. A man in Georgia who broke down in court crying as Leon Nathan Davis pleaded guilty to supporting ISIS, planning to fly overseas to join the terrorists. He got 15 years in prison. Davis claims he was brainwashed. Another man was charged in Florida.
The FBI says that this man was planning to bring an ISIS-inspired terror attack to a Florida beach. Specifically, he was plotting to detonate a backpack bomb that was filled with nails. Harlem Suarez, he's 23 years old. He's from Key West.
That's Fox's Kristen Fisher. What a nightmare this was. A 75-foot-tall pine tree fell on children at a summer camp outside of Pasadena, California. Museum.
By the grace of God, nobody was under the column of that tree because you could not survive.
8 kids were hurt, 2 critically, as people bent and cut branches to get to the children. It's unclear why that tree came down. A little Maryland boy could not be happier today. Zion Harvey had his hands again. The 8-year-old is the youngest double transplant recipient ever.
I want to say to you guys, thank you for helping me through this.
That was a smiling Harvey yesterday. He says it was weird at first, but good. He lost his hands and feet to a serious infection 4 years ago and needed a kidney transplant. It took doctors 11 hours last week to attach his 2 new hands. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program. Or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
When I would binge, I would feel completely out of control. I would eat so much during my binges. After a binge, I would feel so bad about myself. Hi, I'm Sunny C. Gold. I'm a magazine writer and editor. I was diagnosed with binge eating disorder. My advice to someone suffering is to just get help. There is hope. If you're an adult who's binged at least weekly for 3 months, learn all of the symptoms at BingeEatingDisorder.com. Then talk with your doctor.
Sponsored by Shire.
People on the plane didn't know it, but a flight last week from Las Vegas to Fargo, North Dakota, nearly had a major problem. Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
Major problem indeed. The plane nearly ran out of fuel before it landed at the Fargo airport, even though it was temporarily closed to most air traffic while the Navy Blue Angels practiced. That was the intended destination, but on audio captured by liveatc.net, an air traffic controller could be heard telling the pilot there would be a landing window in 20 minutes. The pilot responded, I don't have 20 minutes. The flight landed safely. Now, in a statement, Allegiant didn't say whether it knew about the temporary closure at the airport, Dave.
Tanya, 15-year-old in California, could be charged as an adult in the murder of an 8-year-old girl that went missing Sunday.
Santa Cruz police found the body of Madison Middleton covered up in a recycling bin outside of the apartment complex where she lived. A 15-year-old boy also lived in that apartment complex.
He was nearby when Maddie was located. He was subsequently taken into custody.
Chief Kevin Vogel says the boy lured Madison into his apartment, and that's where she was killed.
Additionally, investigators have located evidence that links the suspect to this horrific crime.
Neighbors were shocked and described the boy as sweet and well-spoken to local media outlets. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
A Kentucky man is facing charges for shooting down a drone flying over his house.
Is he looking at the girls, the young girls, or is he looking for something to steal? It's an invasion of privacy.
William Meredith says he feels like he has the right to defend his property. Tom Brady is defending himself, saying he did nothing wrong. He has put out a 507-word Facebook post this morning defending himself in the Deflategate scandal. His suspension of 4 games was upheld yesterday by the NFL's commissioner. Brady says he will not allow his unfair discipline to become a precedent for other players without a fight. I'm Dave Anthony.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Alexis de Tocqueville was born this day, July 29, 1805. He was a French social philosopher who traveled the United States in 1831. His work, Democracy in America, has been described as the most comprehensive analysis between character and society in America that has ever been written. In it, de Tocqueville wrote, "There is no country in the whole world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America, and there can be no greater proof of its utility than that its influence is powerfully felt over the most enlightened and free nation of the earth."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And Joe, we're kind of coming to the close of our segment here. So I just wanted to give you a couple of minutes just to kind of round out this particular conversation. Thank you so much for making yourself available to come on and kind of help us get an understanding. It's been such a profound evening, and I pray that by the grace of God, these are seeds that are being planted in good soil right now, and that there will be a harvest. So is there anything you wanted to say to kind of close us out on what it is we were talking about? Joe? We may have lost him. Okay. So let me close it out. And that is to say, there's a conflict in our culture. And as we look at the world around us and we're looking at just mayhem and foolishness, every time you turn around, there's something more egregious than the day before. And and this is just crazy, but the University of California now offers 6 choices for gender identity. So you don't know who you are, and we don't know who you are either. So let's just kind of throw it all into one big salad bowl and see what we come out with. And so that's what we have today. It's just a bunch of craziness. And as a believer, as a conservative, you look around and you say, what in the world is going on? And, you know, as we were talking about cognitive dissonance, you need 2 conflicts in order to have a cognitive dissonance. And as you look back and say, well, what is the conflict? The conflict is between materialism, man saying, I am at the center of my world, and as a result, I'm going to create the reality that I want. Hence the reason why we see Bruce Jenner with his new reality show, this little boy now turned girl. I am Jazz on television. You have in Reno, Nevada, them taking down the American flag and putting up the gay flag for, temporarily on this past Sunday. You just see one outlandish thing after another, and it doesn't really make any sense. Last week we talked about California striking out man and wife and just putting spouse into the Constitution. For California, just a bunch of craziness. And so that's on one hand. You have this world, you have this theory, this idea of materialism. I am at the center of my life, and I'm going to create whatever reality I want. On the other side, you have this it's materialism versus transcendency. Perhaps there's something greater than me. And if there is something greater than me, then I need to start trying to figure who he is and begin to align my life accordingly, since he created me and since he is the one that is kind of orchestrating all things. And so that's the dynamic, people, as we're looking at the things that are going on. This is the world in which we're living in. And you have to say that if man is at the center, then as Paul said, if this life is nothing, if there's no resurrection, if there's nothing after all of this, then we all can just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. So why not create whatever world you want to live in? But if we are nothing but time plus chance, then everything we're seeing right now is natural. It's to be expected. It's the natural evolution of time, is that we would see and be living in the things that we're living in right now. But if there's something greater, and I believe that it is, then we need to start figuring that aspect of our lives out. But that is, so if you're looking at all these different things, we want to give you hope. We want to give you some encouragement, but we also want to help you to kind of figure out, how should I think about these things? And this is where we are. We're in a time frame of materialism versus transcendency. So I just wanted to put a bow on that part of the conversation. And I think what was really interesting was the aspect of the conversation that that's what the world is contending with. But the world is not only contending with it, because now we have seen a number of evangelical churches buckle on this issue of same-sex marriage. And you have to say, well, why? And as Joe was pointing out, it goes back all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where Satan asked a question, did God really say? Now, Adam and Eve both knew what God said. But the reason why that question has such an impact was because it pointed to what was in the recesses of their own heart, which is in the recesses of our own heart if our heart is not surrendered to Christ totally. And that is a desire to be our own God, to usurp God, even in the church. That's the reason why the church is looking very much like the world, with the divorce rate being about the same as the world. A lot of the stuff you see in the world is taking place in the church. It's because we are usurping God as God and placing ourselves at the center of our life. And then we're going about trying to create a new reality that suits us and makes us feel comfortable. Okay, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And you're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL with Kathy Barnett. And this show is also going to be aired on Truth Exchange with Kathy Barnett on War Radio, the number one political talk radio on Live 365. Now, with that, I want to transition real quickly, because we have come to the part of the show where we spotlight. It's called our spotlight segment on It's a New Day. And we get to hear from those in our surrounding community who are doing some great things, who are involved and engaged. And we bring them onto the show and we kind of have a dialogue about what it is that they're doing. And today is a treat. And I'm so very happy to have the opportunity to welcome in with us John Roy. Hi, John.
Well, hello, and thank you for having me today.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you here. And you guys will know why I say I'm excited to have John in the studio with us. But let me just tell you a little bit about John. He is the owner of Croy, C-R-O-Y, USA Construction Services out of Allentown, Pennsylvania. He is married, have a wonderful family, and I'm going to tell you where you can go and kind of find out, see his family a little bit more. But he is a master carpenter and licensed electrician. He lives in Easton.
Yes.
That how you pronounce that? Pennsylvania, with his wife and children. John has recently started a political organization to promote the need for a return to Christian values through a personal relationship and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that sounds almost like an oxymoron? You have started a political organization to promote the need for a return to Christian values. You know, I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron only because of the culture in which we live in that screams separation of church and state. But this is what he's done. And the name of the organization is John Roy for, drum roll, president. And I love it, guys. I just said that. John Roy is running for president, and he is here before us today on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. Let me just stop there. You are running for U.S. president in 2016.
Well, that's what it seems like.
Now, you know, you and I were talking a little bit during the break of, you know, you can't help but to smile when you see, you know, just an average, and not average in a bad way, but, you know, just a regular American saying, I'm going to run for president. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, we think that is left for those who have been generationally bred to eventually run for president, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't say we have a monarch system in our culture, and yet we see that it's being handed down from one person with the right name to the next person with the right name. And so to have John come in and begin to talk to us about the fact that he's running for president, it makes you smile. But it also, when I heard it, I felt excited, because this is exactly what I think our culture need. Talk to us a little bit.
You know, I've gotten that same response from a lot of people, and I've really been overwhelmed. But this all started a few years ago when I had a dream. I had a dream about being in the White House, had a dream about prayer, and simple things like the people cleaning praying when they're cleaning, stuff like that. And I felt impressed that I should run, and I didn't know where to get started. I started looking into what it would take to run, and I started to do things on my own strength, and everything that I planned fell through. It wasn't until I really surrendered this whole thing to God and just did the simple step of obedience and just started sharing the vision God gave me as the Spirit led, things have just started to fall into place. I haven't really even tried to make things happen.
And, you know, I mean, and when we were talking and we before the break, and I was, you said something about humility and who God is willing to work with.
Yeah. So I'll go straight to my platform.
Yes.
So my platform is Return to Christ. And it comes with specific ordered steps that are outlined in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because it's not until we humble ourselves before Almighty God and really get to know Him on a personal level that only comes from spending time with Him in prayer and then doing what we see Him doing in that time of prayer, with Christ being our example, because He lived that life. He said, I do what I see my Father doing. I say what I hear my Father saying. And we need to be like that. But it comes from spending time with God in prayer and getting to know Him on a personal level. And the final step is repentance. A lot of people think, I need to get my life right first before God can use me. But no, you need to do what He's telling you to do, and then your life will be right.
And so your platform is to bring our nation back to its founding principles, which is based upon that there is someone greater than us, and His name is God,
and
Jehovah God.
Our official national motto is, In God We Trust. And so are we going to keep continuing to give Him lip service, or are we going to surrender our lives to Him?
Amen. I mean, I'm all for that. And we're going to talk a little bit more with John Roy, just to get a little bit greater understanding of who he is and what he intends to bring. Stay with us.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey everybody, this is Laura Ingram. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio forms would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804. Let your light shine, let your light shine
for all to see and start a fire. Hello, this is It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. We have something that is a little unprecedented. We have someone who is running for president, and you can go to his website. It just went live today, John.
That's correct.
John Roy, he is in studio with me right now, and you can go to John Roy for the number 4 president.com, and that's Roy R-O-Y, John Roy R-O-Y for president.com. I mean, he's a real, I mean, it's really real. You have someone like you and I look very, I mean, And this is no slight whatsoever to call you average, although, you know, I typically abhor anything average. I'm always about above and beyond kind of thing. But when we're talking about, you know, in our culture today, we have this group of people that have set themselves up as elites, the ones who hold the power and the wealth, and they pretty much dictate what our freedoms are, even, you know, in our culture today, especially, you know, case in point, the Supreme Court. Recent decision to legalize same-sex marriage, that you have this group of people that have placed themselves in a position of leader and royalty, and they pretty much sets out the edicts on what you and I, the average people, will and will not do. So to have one of our own kind of roll over and say, I believe this is what God is leading me to do, and that is to run for president. And I'm looking at your website right now. You have your 2 Chronicles 7:14 verse on there that if my people who are called by my name, and we know that it goes on to say, will humble themselves and repent, fall to their knees and repent, then God will restore our land. And I was saying to you, now, obviously, this resonates 100% with me and with the majority of our listeners. But for our culture, we just spent the whole hour in the first half of our time today talking about our world is now in a conflict between materialism, man being at the center, versus transcendency, that there's a higher power. And that's the conflict that's warring. And from a human perspective, if I'm looking at it, it looks like the materialism is winning. We're being steamrolled. Go ahead.
That's because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we have been trying to fight this battle in our flesh. And we really need to humble ourselves before God and seek his face. Many of you listening, God has called you to do something, and you haven't done it because you don't believe that you're able to. And that's why God is calling you, because you aren't able to. You need him. And so I just encourage everybody listening right now, that's God called you to do something, do this one step. Take three people that you trust and tell them what God has called you to do. And that's going to be your beginning.
Amen. I mean, you know, and that resonates with me. And when you came in and I met you for the first time and you said you're running for president, I'm like, okay. And then one of the questions, the natural question is, do you think you can win? And you started talking to me about how God uses
the foolish things of this world
to confound the wise.
Yes. So God's qualifications are different than man's qualifications. His qualifications are that we aren't able to. You see, anybody who comes on the scene and says that they could change this world and lead America to a better future based on their own ability, their own knowledge, their own connections, they're deceiving themselves, and God, frankly, God's not with them. A great leader is one who puts aside their own agenda, listens to every argument, and then seeks God for direction. And I believe that I'm in a position where I don't have political connections. I don't have business connections. I don't have money. I have to trust God. I don't have the ability on my own. I have to trust him. And that's where God wants me to be at.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, and again, he takes the foolish things, because even in our sanctified mind, we begin to rationalize away and begin to minimize the impact of God. Mm-hmm. And the supremacy of God and the authority of God. And this is in our sanctified mind, and we can be having, you know, praise and worship like they do in the book of Revelations, before the throne room of God. And yet a simple question like Satan asked in Genesis chapter 3. Now, did God really say? And it just flips our world upside down. We begin to doubt. We begin to equivocate. We begin to, you know, to like, well, did God really say that? Am I really called to do that? Because I have to admit, I've even caught myself looking for someone to get into office and save us from this spiral that we're going down, right? We just need the right person, Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Rand Paul or, God forbid, not Hillary. We just need the right person to get in, Ben Carlson, and then all will be well and they will put us back on track. And this is from my perspective, even I've caught my own self, having that thought in the back of my head and then having to shake myself and realize, wait a minute, this is not taking God by surprise. This world what's happening is not a major upset to God's plans. Talk
no.
to us.
Well, you said a lot of stuff, but.
Pick.
You know, I was at a men's conference this weekend. It was really blessed. And one of the things they mentioned was, are we going to be thermometers or are we going to be a thermostat? So the leader of this country has a spiritual leadership that a lot of people don't realize. If a leader comes up and says, oh, this is how I see things heading, he's speaking spiritually. He's setting the temperature. But if he seeks God and he says, but God, this is what we're going to do. This is what God is showing me this country is going to go to, regardless of what it looks like. He's setting a temperature that is outside the outside temperature.
Yeah. And now, what's the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat?
So a thermometer only shows what temperature it is. A thermostat changes the temperature.
It sets the temperature,
yes.
Right? Yeah. And so which one are we supposed to be?
As Christians, as we're praying and seeking God, he's going to give us things to do, things to say that's going to change the temperature of this nation.
Now, that's profound. I think that's profound. What about you, Russell? I think that is profound. Call us 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. Do you have questions for John Roy, who is running for U.S. president in 2016? So are you a Republican?
You know, about a year ago, I registered as a Republican because I thought, oh, the next president is going to be a Republican, right? I mean, it's just the way things work. Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat. But as I really started praying and seeking God, I really felt that I needed to stay independent, as I have been since I first registered to vote when I turned 18. And, you know, Galatians 5, 19 to 21 warns against the works of the flesh, one of which is called a party spirit. Now, when I first read that years ago, I thought, oh, party, you know, go out and you get drunk. No, it's talking about dissensions, factions. This is the spirit that's behind the political parties that are caused division among America and among the people of God. Mm-hmm. And I just feel I need to stay independent and stay out of that party spirit.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that is so true. And we talk about it often that this, I mean, it's division and chaos everywhere you look. I mean, whites versus blacks and vice versa. Confederate flag or the American flag, LGBT culture, the Christian culture, everywhere, immigration, Iran, Muslim. It's just everywhere you look, there is tremendous. And all of these discussions are not just simmering, but they're at boiling points. I mean, every last one of them, we're at a boiling point. And I believe this division is intentional. We're going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to continue our conversation with John Roy, who's running for president. It's a new day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL.
Looking for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu.
We're still in the process of assessing those reports.
The Afghan government says it's looking into the claim that a Taliban leader has died.
It's not the first time we've heard reports of Mullah Omar's death, but today multiple reports citing senior Afghan government sources saying he's been dead for 2 or 3 years, apparently killed by tuberculosis. Some reports saying his son let the news slip.
Fox Radio's Simon Owen. Omar was an ally of Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And New England quarterback Tom Brady defending himself in the Deflategate scandal, saying in a roughly 500-word Facebook post this morning he did nothing wrong, also that he replaced his broken phone with a new one after his lawyers told the NFL they would not be getting it. Brady's 4-game suspension was upheld by the commissioner, Roger Goodell, yesterday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today. Right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Welcome back. It's a new day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. Call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Your ears did not deceive you the past two segments that we've had so far today. Yes, I have John Roy in the studio with me. And yes, he is running for U.S. President in 2016. And again, I can't help but to smile when I say it. Not to make it trite, because I, you know, we've been talking off air as well. And as I mean, it is encouraging to me because I truly believe that our help ultimately comes from the Lord. But I do not believe that the way he is going to use a revival to turn around our country is going to start from the top down with the elites. But it's going to start with just the average American. And I'm one of those average Americans just kind of walking around looking at the impact of the elite's decisions, because it's interesting what the elites pass rarely impacts them in the same way that it impacts you and I, i.e. Mm-hmm. Obamacare, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They passed it. The elites in our Congress passed it, mm-hmm. but they made a provision that it does not impact them. It just impacts us. And so I think that our help is going to come from people like you and I just rising up,
mm-hmm.
rising up by really falling down on our knees and
yes.
humbling ourselves. And Roy, John, let's talk about that a little bit more as well, because I was saying I was very encouraged when you took to the mic and you started encouraging people to get engaged, mm-hmm. because, you know, it may be a foolish thing for the overwhelming majority of our society who would look at you and say, that's foolishness. You're not going to, you know, you can't possibly win. But I loved how you even corrected me at the very beginning before we even went on air, and you said, you know, God uses the foolish things
yeah.
to confine the wise
mm-hmm.
Things. And it's very true. And yet I believe every single thing that the Word of God says. And yet, even in my own mind, I minimize
mm-hmm.
the significance or the power and the reign, the supremacy and the authority of God. And so it's something I believe we have to forever be mindful of, that God can rise up whomever he chooses for whatever day we're now living in.
That's right. And as an example, we can look at Gideon. Gideon wasn't a soldier, but God called him to rise up an army against the people that were coming against the people of God. And so it started with thousands of men that followed Gideon, but God said, no, that's too many people. In the end, 300 men defeated an army. It wasn't by man that did it, but God. Because we read in scriptures that God allowed Gideon to overhear the men in the camp saying that they had dreams that they were going to be defeated. And you see, that's how God works. You see, we don't see things happening in the natural realm, but as we start being obedient and doing what God has called us to do, things start to happen in the spiritual realm. Thoughts go into people's minds. People start having dreams. People start coming to, you know what just came to me? I've heard such an encouragement from the Middle East. You know, everybody hears about all the bad things that are happening with ISIS, how many people are dying. Did you know how many Muslims are coming to Christ?
During a time of persecution.
God is using this time to draw people unto himself. And we should not be discouraged. But again, get on our knees. Pray, God, what do you want me to do today? Sometimes it's just go hug that person. Just go tell that person they're beautiful. Simple things. But God could take the simple things and change this world. But we need to be obedient. We need to do what he's called to do. And I believe that's what I'm doing. I believe that God's calling me to do this. And you know, I could win. I could become president. I'm not bent on it. I'm open to whatever plan God has for my life.
Yeah. And I think that that is the key is God, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Because I know that you and I and Russell and Al and Susan are not the only people in our culture that is looking at it and feeling very bewildered at times, feeling very much like, God, what can I do? What can I do? Or, oh my God, this is so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're not the only ones. And yet, you know, I earnestly believe what God, the only thing God needs is a willingness of us, from us, to humble ourselves, a genuine willingness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really interesting. I have a ministry called Truth Exchange, and you can read more about, a shameless plug, Russell. You can hear more about Truth Exchange by going to truthexchange.net. But, you know, I mean, as a ministry, we are forever needing people to do something, to put their hands to the plow in some way. And it's really interesting because as I go out and I talk about, you know, just whatever activities or things that I'm in, and then I will hear people say, you know, I just so want to be used by God. Oh, God, I just want to be used by you. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm just open. And then I say, well, great. I have a ministry called Truth Exchange. So, and we need this, that, and the other. And almost every single time they say, well, you know, oh, well, you know, I have, you know, my children's schedule, I have camp, I gotta run them here, I gotta go do that, we're in transition, da 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 da. And so every single time, I mean, every single time when I hear someone, they first start off with, oh, I just want to be used by God, and I just want to be open, and Lord, you know, use me. And then I say, well, great. And it's always kind of, well, kind of conversation that follows that.
Yeah.
And yet you're doing something. And what you're encouraging us to do is just to honestly make yourself available for whatever it is that God may have. Now, how does someone get to a point of making themselves available? Because we do have schedules. And, you know, I have two little ones of my own and it gets very, very busy, very hectic. How do you make yourself available?
For me, I mean, everybody's different. But for me, when I lay my head at night in my bed, my focus is on Jesus. Sometimes he wakes me up in the morning and just puts ideas in my mind. And I just praise him, you know, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, because he is worthy. And I just keep saying that, even if it's just in my mind, you know, thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy. You are Lord. And that's a part of humility where we speak it, because our words have power.
Yeah.
And so you may be struggling in your heart to surrender. You have to start saying it, and your words will have power. power to change your heart.
And I thought that was really interesting, too, going back to earlier in our conversation where you said that the leader prophesies or he casts a vision.
Yes.
Right. And that struck my attention because I've been thinking about that. I remember in 2008 when Obama took the stage for the first time as president and he declared America is no longer just a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. And I think about that so often, even today, because what he did was, because I thought we were a Christian nation, I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
But then he stands up on stage and he casts a vision with his word, because the word of God says life and death lies in the tongue.
Yes.
And so he spoke that out. And from 2008 to today, I have never seen such a steamroll of depravity.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you look, we're being steamrolled. Yes. Our culture is being hijacked.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he said something else in his 2008 inaugural speech that really blew my mind and scared the heck out of me, actually. He declared himself to be the savior of this nation. And
I do not recall that, but I'm going to look that up. It would not surprise me.
He said this administration will be the savior of this country.
Mm, yeah.
And he was basically declaring himself God.
You know what? I mean, just kind of putting a spotlight on my own self, I've caught my own self looking for someone to rise up through the ranks of this presidential election to save our nation.
Yes.
You have a thought?
You know, this goes back to the beginning of time. And God, from the beginning, created man to have fellowship with him. And we see, I see the Old Testament as an historical document and also the Word of God. And we can learn a lot from history. And if we don't learn from history, we will repeat it. And what's happened is throughout history, we see that man, as God's called man to himself, he said to God, no, give us a leader to lead us and we will follow them. And the same thing has happened with Obama. They said, give us a leader and we'll follow him. And that's what's happening. So you have to pick your leadership very wisely and see what vision they have and what are they standing on?
I mean, that'd be really interesting to have a president in office that says, hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, that would be truly a new day in our culture, given where we have been over the past 8 years almost. Oh, my goodness. And I heard him saying during his Kenya talks, his tour of Kenya, that if he ran for president the third time, he would win.
Third time.
Hello. He's already, again, once again, casting that vision out there. And given his narcissistic behavior, I would not be surprised.
I have a feeling, you know, we need to.
We'll be right back.
Sure.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. Now, she would swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. The year was 1952. The day was dense with fog. The cold water was numbing. Florence could hardly see. She could hear rifles shooting at sharks nearby. After more than 15 hours, it all became too much. Her trainer urged her on, but with no land in sight, her will was gone. Florence quit swimming. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. That day, Florence Chadwick gave up 1/2 mile from her goal. When you're ready to quit, keep on swimming. The fog will lift and you'll see how close you are in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Help Kiwanis of East Norriton with their Color Kids World campaign. Kiwanis of East Norriton is proud to be partnering with the Montgomery County Norristown Public Library to provide school supplies for students in grades K through 6. From July 15th to August 15th, Kiwanis will be collecting school supplies at these locations: Curves of East Norriton, 38 West Germantown Pike, WFYL, 2400 West Main Street on Jeffersonville Golf Course, Elmwood Park Zoo, 1661 Harding Boulevard, East Norriton Township Building, 2501 Stanbridge Street, Norristown Library, 1001 Pell Street. Items especially needed are crayons, glue sticks, subject notebooks, washable markers, colored pencils, index cards, backpacks. Help us make a difference in kids' lives.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome back. It's a new day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. Your time to call in is dwindling, people. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. We've had a really, it's a little bit different than the show we generally do in the first hour anyway, where we generally just kind of talk and ask some commentary about the various news items, of the day, of the week, or whatever the case may be. But today we've kind of started off our time talking about, how should we think about these things? I mean, 'cause we're just being steamrolled. You wake up and there's something more, it's something new, outlandish that has just taken place while you were asleep. And so how should we think about those things? So we've talked about that. You can go to, the 1180wfyl.com and you can pull up the podcast and kind of take a look at that first half hour. The second hour, we've been talking to a real live U.S. presidential candidate for 2016, John Roy. Thank you so much for being here and kind of talking to us for this past hour, the balance of the last hour.
Sure. It's been my pleasure.
Yeah. Now, how can people reach you?
Well, they can go to my website, which just went live before the show, www.johnroy4president.com. Or if they like what they've been hearing, they can text JR, the number 4, and P to 72727. That's JR4P to the number 72727.
JohnRoy4President.com. JohnRoy4President.com is the website, and there's a contact button there as well, so you can reach him there also. So just kind of rounding out our discussion, we've been talking a lot about just how do you think about things, and we introduced this theory, cognitive dissonance, and it is that feeling of uncomfortable tension which comes from holding two conflicting thoughts in the mind at the same time. And so you have to have so again it's this uncomfortable feeling that we get when we're holding two conflicting thoughts at the exact same time. And I thought it was interesting, the theory came about in the 1950s with Dr. Festinger, and what he did was he infiltrated a cult that was persuaded that aliens were going to come and destroy the earth. And their leader at the time was Mrs. Keach. And so they believed that the earth was going to be destroyed by aliens, but they themselves, the cult members, were going to be taken up and survive. And then what happened, you know, so it was supposed to happen on December 21st, 1956. So then December 22nd, 1956 came around and they were still there. It was like, wait a minute, what happened? Why didn't we leave? And here's the dissonance, because you would think they've been preparing for December 21st. The aliens were going to come destroy the earth, but they were going to survive. And then December 22nd come around and they're still there. Well, what happened? Surely now you're going going to see that this woman, Mrs. Keach, is a crackpot and we're going to leave her alone. No, what Festinger saw was that the dissonance, the conflict was so great. And the conflict was either they were so stupid to have believed this woman, and but the thought of them being so stupid was so great of a conflict that they instead decided that the aliens had, through their concern for the cult, saved the world instead. So what he saw was that all of the cult members, except for two, stayed with Mrs. Keach organization or cult, and they became even more ardent or hardened in their belief that they were worshiping aliens, because the alternative was too upsetting for them. It was too hard for them, and the alternative was we're just stupid and we've been fooled, bamboozled.
That is pride.
And that is exactly where we are today. Yes. We have, it's very clear. You said earlier when we were on break that you were talking to an atheist. You
want
to talk about that?
A few weeks ago, I was looking for a video person to help me do a video for the website, which I still haven't done yet. And so somebody recommended this guy. So we met and sat down. And I started talking. And I said, well, what's your background, you know, religious faith? Oh, I'm an atheist. And my mind went blank. I said, what do I tell this guy? And I tried to explain it in a worldly view, and it didn't work. And afterwards, God just spoke to my heart and said, even the atheists know I'm real.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of times where people said, well, you should change your message so it's, you know, well, the mainstream will accept it or whatever. And every time it went to nothing.
Yeah.
And I just believe God has, this is a vision God has, and I shouldn't be ashamed of it. And even atheists know God is real, but they don't like who God is, because they don't know who he is. They think, well, if he's omnipotent and he's all powerful, then why does bad things happen? I hear that all the time, even from some Christians, because they don't realize that God gave man dominion over the earth. So are we going to start taking dominion? Or we're going to keep complaining about what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. And the thing that I love about that is that we know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the dissonance or the conflict comes into play when I have to decide, am I going to align myself up with the truth?
Yes.
Or do I want to move over here and create my own reality?
Or accept somebody else's.
Yes, or accept someone else's reality as my reality. But but then again, creating a situation that allows me to do what I want to do. And this is not just occurring in the world, but it is also occurring in the body of Christ. And so, but we know the truth. And so that is what we need to do. We need to start getting engaged. We need to start engaging our culture all around us. Because we know the truth, and either God is who he says that he is, or he is not. Real quickly, I did not have a lot of time to talk about it today because we got so caught up in the whole conversation of cognitive dissonance. We got caught up in the gay flag being flown instead of the American flag on the Capitol in on the City Hall of Nevada. But I did not want to negate talking a little bit once again about the video, the third video that came out with Planned Parenthood, documenting Planned Parenthood. And again, these are not opinions, people. This particular organization, the Center for Medical Progress.org, went undercover. And so far, we have about four different senior level VPs at Planned Parenthood talking about what they know to be illegal. The U.S. Code 289G-2 says that it shall be unlawful for any person to knowingly acquire, receive, or otherwise transfer any human fetal tissue for valuable consideration, i.e., it is illegal to sell baby body parts. And yet, we are now becoming more and more aware that Planned Parenthood has been trafficking in human and baby body parts, selling it. And so go out there, Google it. It's the third Planned Parenthood video expose, kind of exposing them and just seeing, you know, they even have the fees for service schedules that, wow, you know, for a baby that is less than 24 weeks, you get $340 per specimen. For a baby that is 12 weeks or younger, you get $550 per specimen. I mean, haggling over prices. This is the world we're living in. And we know that these are real people. These are real people. And yet we're finding ourselves in a conflict, not because we don't know what truth is, but it's because truth is not convenient. And I want to do what I want to do, period. Next, you've been listening to It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. Next time, go ahead and write it down for next time, 610-539-TALK, and call in and let's begin to have a dialogue and begin to change the world in which we're living in. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.